film news, reviews and more. This is Box Office. This is Leeds Student Radio. Hello everyone, welcome to Box Office on Leeds Student Radio. I am your host Oscar and we got a great show lined up for you today. But first, please be sure to download the LSR app. We're running a little competition today. Please tweet into us saying what's your favourite film documentary about a band, film or documentary about a band or musician. Okay, so joining me on the show today, we have Alistair, the co-producer of Box Office. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing really well.
You're right, mate. Apart from your little dissertation scare today.
Oh, my word, yeah.
Tell the lovely viewers what happened.
So I accidentally didn't log off of out of Eddie B yesterday, and some lovely soul decided it'd be really funny just to delete my dissertation.
Karma will come to that man.
Lovely souls everywhere.
It's been fine.
Well, I'm glad you managed to get back on your keyboard and power through that. Emily, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you, Oscar?
I'm all right. What you got in store for us today?
Film news.
Film news. Love me some film news. Ella.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm quite sad. This is
don't know why I refer to you as a plural.
I was going to say,
guys.
I am many people.
You are many people. Many things to many people. Yeah. Guys, your last shows.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
It's really sad.
It's been... I know I've only been on the show like 5-6 times in the whole time, but it's been great hosting the show with you guys, and
sad. Lovely having you and lovely being here.
I feel like I've been here too long now, though.
You've been a box officer for 3 years, Emily.
Three
years.
Wow,
three
you're
three long
been
years.
A guest, producing, presenting, I've done it all.
Done it all. She is the what's the word I'm looking for?
Maybe box office queen.
You are okay. Yeah. If I was going to say something a bit more modest, maybe box office queen. We'll roll with box office queen for the moment.
Well, there is a space for box office king, but got ours next year as well. So
well, we'll see about that then, shall we?
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, here we go, guys. The UK box office top 10.
The UK box office top 10.
I'm going to miss you about mouthing the jingles with me, Alistair. We're just mouthing.
Sometimes
you
just do it in the shower. just like dun dun dun.
What to think of?
Alright guys, at number 10 we have Child 44 starring Tom Hardy and Gary Oldman, as we discussed last week. 9 we have Woman in Gold starring Ryan Reynolds and Helen Mirren. At number 8 we have the SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water 3D, which I still really want to see.
Yeah.
I love SpongeBob. I've got to get around to seeing that at some point. And number
6 wet and warm.
My friend's review of SpongeBob was wild.
Just one word review. Shark sandwich.
Wild and moles. Anyway, 7 we have a new entry, 2x2, Oops, The Ark Has Gone, which is an animated film. And the premise is, it's the end of the world, a flood is coming. Luckily for Dave and his son Finny, a couple of clumsy Nestrians? Are they birds?
Well, no, they're a made-up creature specifically for this.
I'm a fan, I like that. A couple of clumsy Nestrians and has been built. They built an ark, basically, guys.
Right.
There's an ark and Nestrians.
Right.
Wow. You got it? Now, if that doesn't sell you, you're a lost cause.
Is it anything like Noah?
I don't see any resemblance whatsoever ever towards,
maybe
to be honest.
Maybe that's for the best.
At number 5, we have... No, wait, I missed number 6. At number 6, we have Kenneth Branagh's... It's directed by Kenneth Branagh, isn't it?
Yep.
Cinderella. Number 5, we have Home. Number 4, Fast and Furious 7. And number 3, a new entry, which I will be reviewing on the show today, is Unfriended, where a group of online chat room friends find themselves haunted by a mysterious supernatural force using the account of their dead friend. And at number 2 we have Far From the Madding Crowd, which Alistair reviewed for us last week, the adaptation of Tom Hardy work. And at number 1 we have The Avengers Age of Ultron.
Surprise
You guys really liked it, didn't you?
Fans. I'm gonna see it for the third time this week.
Wow.
Third time this week. Well, we'll see.
Okay, well, let's kick off with our first review of the show. Alistair, you went and saw Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck. What do you think?
I did. So, Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck, it's a documentary based around the tragic life of Kurt Cobain, who, of course, was the lead singer of Nirvana. Nirvana, who are truly one of the most important bands, certainly of the 90s, probably in recent years too, you know, invented the whole grunge scene, which was such an important part of the 90s. It's done in a documentary style. It originally aired in America on HBO, and then made its way to film festivals, and now it's come to, you know, independent cinemas like a Hyde Park Picture House and things like that. It shows one of the key things that I really appreciated with it was its link to art and like drawings and things like that. It shows Kurt Cobain's various drawings from his childhood right up to his death. And with it, it comes like a really intimate portrayal of how his inner mind might be working, because some of them can get really graphic and some of them really like poignant and sad and things like that. So I really like that. It has lots of like tonal shifts. Some bits are done entirely in like stop motion animation, then other bits are done in a sort of semi 3D digital animation. There's a lot that's taken from old family videos and video recordings made by Cobain himself when on tour with Nirvana and stuff like that. Seeing Kurt Cobain as a very young child is kind of bittersweet, because he's such a cute, adorable little thing. But particularly in his early videos, he seemed like such a happy child when he's in his infancy. But that's not to say that the film doesn't hold back in its representation of Kurt's difficult childhood years and how they affected him mentally. But it's just, it's a really strange thing to see such a happy child turn into such kind of a depressed person in later life. I actually compare it favourably to Frank, which came out last year, I think we all really enjoyed, didn't we?
Fantastic film,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
In that one of the central themes seems to be the deconstruction of the myth that these amazing troubled geniuses are products of their environment, when rather it's that very same environment which is actually inhibiting them and causing a great deal of suffering along the way, if you understand what I mean. I'm a really big fan of the documentary. It has kind of a frenetic energy which really suits its subject matter. It's daring and inventive and really does a good job in trying to delve deeper into the mind of one of the most iconic people of the last century, really. Mm. It could easily have been a dry history lesson going through, you know, the rise of Nirvana and all that sort of stuff, but it really avoids this in the best way possible.
So do you think it pays tribute to him then? Because a lot of, I mean, very tragically, Kurt Cobain is one of the so-called 27 Club, and yeah. Do you think it pays quite a good tribute to him rather than, I mean, there's a lot of things, it's like they glamorise his death and they misinterpret the reasons for it. Do you think it was quite a nice fitting?
I certainly don't think it glamorises death, I think, one of the things that one of the interviewees says to him, it's an ex-girlfriend of his, says, you know, being around him, I thought, like, wow, I'm not very special at all. But then once she got older, she thought, I'm so glad I'm not like him. Like, I'm not got the weight on my mind as he does. I just wanted to give a quote from Werner Herzog, just about it nicely sums up how I feel about documentary filmmaking, and specifically this documentary in general. This was him referring to The Act of Killing, which was one of my favourite films from a couple of years ago. He said, I believe that documentary filmmaking has to move away from the pure fact-based movies, because facts, per se, don't constitute truth. Otherwise, the Manhattan Phone Directory would be the book of books. You know, 4 million entries, every single one factually correct. Mr. Jonathan Smith, his address and telephone number can be verified correct. But whether Jonathan Smith has nightmares or whether he cries into his pillow each night, we don't know. And that's where filmmaking has to move.
Wow.
And that perfectly sums up to me why I think Kurt Cobain Montage of Heck is a great documentary. It goes into
Wonderful.
The place, into the dark crevices of the Kurt Cobain story, instead of just paving over it with a sort of monochrome, this is the story of Nirvana and Kurt Cobain, and then he dies at the end and that's it.
Alistair, do you think you've got to, like, I don't really know anything about Kurt Cobain or Nirvana, I'm not the biggest fan of Nirvana or anything like that. Do you think you have to be a fan? Well, of the band or no? Like, Kurt Cobain died before I was even born.
Of course. I think you'll get a lot out of it if you appreciate the music, but that isn't to say that you have to. I think you'll gain a lot just by seeing this as a kind of a character study, this is a person who just so happened to make this fantastic music.
Would you say that you compared it to Frank in its relation to this idea of the tortured artist, and maybe that's not an accurate image of the creative,
yeah,
of the creative force. Would you say that's the main central theme holding the film together? Would you say it's more, and what else has it got to it other than that theme? Do you reckon?
I mean, it's obviously the what made Kurt Cobain so iconic was that he didn't want to be an icon at all. It's an oversimplification, but people say that one of the reasons that he ended up killing himself was because he couldn't handle the pressure of being a voice of a generation, kind of thing like that. And I think that is certainly one of the themes of the film.
Someone, yeah,
yeah. There are interviews with Nirvana where they say, yeah, we don't want to just end up playing, you know, in like a back garden for like 20 people. They want to get better and things like that, but. There's an interesting quote from Kurt Cobain's mum when he shows her the original master recording of Nevermind, you know, that seminal album. She just started shaking and was like scared, and she was just like, she said to Kurt Cobain, "I don't think you're ready for what's going to happen."
Wow.
She was just like, "This is not going to go anywhere where you want to go."
That just gave me shivers.
Yeah, like,
wow.
It's a really interesting and kind of intimate thing to say to a kid when, I mean, so often we just say, oh, yeah, it's great, sure, but, like, it really puts across the kind of real grit and you know, just the general feeling of the film is can be,
yeah,
made in microcosm in that little moment.
Because he's quite a profound person. I mean, you already said about him saying, like, that's about fact and truth. I mean, quite a few things he said about, you know, attitudes towards rape, how he was saying that, you know, we're teaching all these women to protect themselves. Why can't we teach men not to go out and rape? And, you know, that was back in the 90s when in a lot of places marital rape was still legal. But even today, there's so many problematic attitudes, and his words are very still as relevant
and
as
he
ever.
He was an early he was a very early adopter of gay rights and of the gay rights movement and things like that. He would, like, some of his earliest drawings when he's like 14 or 15 are talking about how he can't stand homophobes and things like that. I think he is the voice of that particular generation. Which is possibly the last thing that he'd want to hear, but that's just the way it goes. And
so is it quite an all-encompassing, because it sounds like it talks about a lot of things, his creativity, his music. Does it talk about his impact on the society, or is it more about him, do you reckon?
I think yes. I mean, towards the end it does, but I feel like especially when they start focusing on, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit and Nevermind and things like that, they are, I mean, that's like a seminal moment in the history of music, like the release of Nevermind and the alternative becoming mainstream and things like that. So they kind of just go, oh yes, and this is when Smells Like Teen Spirit is released. Here's how Kurt felt about it. It's not like one of those really self-serving documentaries where it's just where it's the talking heads going, wow, the first time I heard this song, I thought it was the best thing ever.
It's not like a classic rock, classic albums documentary then.
Exactly. It's not like that. It's a humanist documentary. It's based on human and human feelings and emotion, particularly those of Kurt Cobain.
Alistair, thank you. That was excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, mate. Do you want to introduce the song we're going to play next?
Oh, I really do. This is one of my favourite songs from a film ever. Night Call by Kavinsky, the theme from Drive. I love it to bits.
Fantastic. Guys, keep tweeting in to us about your favourite film or documentary about a band or musician. Here is Night Call by Kavinsky. Tell you how I feel.
no fear. There's something inside you, it's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same. There's something inside you, it's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same. I'm giving you a night call, tell you how I feel. I want to drive you through the night, down the hills. I gotta tell you something you don't want to hear. I'm gonna show you where it's dark, but have no fear. There's something inside you, it's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same. There's something inside you, it's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same. There's something inside you, there's something inside you, it's hard to explain.
Everyone, that was Night Call by Kavinsky from the film Drive. Thank you for tweeting us. Keep tweeting us about your favourite film or documentary about a band or musician. Let's see what we got. We got Dominic Eloise, who says, shut up and play the hits about LCD sound system. I've always wanted to play Daft Punk is playing at my house here. I just think it's a bit too long.
I'd
for
like
radio.
Daft Punk to like appear at my house and then play Daft Punk.
That'd be good.
Shut up and play the hits is a rather fantastic film.
I'll have to get watching that, actually. We had Mr. Sammy James saying, not technically a band, but Walk the Line about Johnny Cash is one of my faves. And Rod Ardehalli says Spinal Tap. Obviously, we are allowing fictional bands.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And also, David Cowlinshaw has said the best one is Ian Curtis' Joy Division film, Control.
That's my pick for later.
Is that your pick?
Spinal Tap's my pick for later as well.
We'll definitely have enough time to talk about all of those. But first, Emily.
Hello.
Hold on.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. Last time on the show, we do all one.
Go on, Emily. Hit me with the facts.
Oh, movie news. Well, earlier we talked. Alison mentioned a bit Act of Killing.
I did.
Which I've never seen, but I just know it's meant to be remarkable. But Sheffield Documentary Festival recently announced their lineup, and I'm very excited. I'm working it this year. I'm on the press team, which should be amazing. I love working film festivals. And but they've got a companion piece to Act of Killing by Joshua Oppenheimer opening the festival, and they've got some great ones such as the Russian Woodpecker, which is about the search for truth in Chernobyl, The Look of Silence, they've got The Greatest Show on Earth. They've got a huge ton of good documentaries, exciting documentaries to sort of,
Awesome.
Sounds fantastic. Yeah. Well, I'm working in Sheffield next year, so I'll probably have to
pop
along.
If you're based in Leeds, it's not much at all to go to Sheffield.
It's not at all.
Pop along for a day, explore some great documentaries. I don't think it's a genre that meant that popular audiences get really go to, but
who doesn't love a good documentary?
Exactly. So back in 2009, Legendary Pictures trying to put pieces together in a Jimi Hendrix biopic with Paul Greengrass as likely a director. It fell through, but now it's back on.
With Paul Greengrass.
And,
back on?
Very interesting.
Yes, he's in negotiations to direct that with 8 Mile's Scott Silver aboard to write the script. So
wow.
I'm not really the biggest fan of Jimi Hendrix, but he's an interesting guy.
I like Jimi Hendrix a lot.
I'm a guitar player. I'm very partial towards
Jimi
Hendrix.
Is it possible to be a guitar player and not a Jimi Hendrix fan?
I don't know about that.
you may be a Clapton guy. You never know.
This is true. Anyway, so Hugh Jackman's leaving the role of Wolverine, which made me very sad this morning when I found out.
I love Hugh Jackman, but he's done loads.
No, but the
thing
is, whenever I think of Wolverine, like he's I think the actor that's appeared in the same superhero role for like the most appearances in cinema.
Including
his cameos in films as well Wolverine. But the third Wolverine film will be his last appearance in the role. We don't know much about the film yet. Though director James Mangold, who did the Wolverine, which was the second Wolverine film, have been swapping ideas with Hugh Jackman, so he's also working on the story. Also, Captain America Civil War cast has been announced.
Okay, hit us with it.
Go on, Marvel fans. Martin Freeman, who is Dr. Watson, I'm quite excited. From Sherlock, he's one of my favourite actors, so he's going to be appearing in it. Got Hawkeye, The Vision, who was introduced in The Avengers Age of Ultron, Rhodes is back, Ant-Man is also going to be making his Marvel Cinematic Universe debut. So that's going to be very exciting.
Vision with the most smug line in Avengers Age of Ultron. I was only born yesterday. Like, my head was in my hands after that, guys. I've got to admit.
I loved
it.
Oh, it's Paul Bettany. I thought it was cute.
I love Paul Bettany's fantastic, but they gave him such a dodge line. It was unbelievable.
Oh, but he pulled it off, that Paul.
I'm with Ella on this, I'm afraid. Oscar, you're outnumbered.
To be honest, Paul Bettany could do anything, and I'd be like, oh, Paul.
I'm not with her now.
The thinking woman's crumpet, everyone. Paul Bettany.
That's movie news. So.
Hey. Well, thank you for that, Emily. That is fantastic. Oh, guys, I went and saw a horror film today.
Hey.
It's one of these, you know, it's one of these found footage films, but with a bit of a twist. I went and saw Unfriended, directed by Levin Gabriadze. I can't pronounce his name. And star.
That was one hell of an attempt.
Was it?
That was good.
Go on, you give it a go.
Alistair Gabriadze.
Gabriadze. All right, I put an accent on the end. I think he's Georgian. Could you look that up maybe for us, Ella?
Sounds like a Georgian name.
Ella checking the facts. And it also stars Shelley Catherine Hennig, who is an American actress and beauty pageant title holder, who was Miss Teen America in 2004. But that's all irrelevant.
Okay.
Gabriadze, I think that's...
Where's he from?
Let's see.
Georgian-Russian.
Oh,
there we go.
Very nice. Anyway, we got... as I said earlier on the box office top 10, the premise is a group of online chat room friends find themselves haunted by a mysterious supernatural force using the account of their dead friend. Now, it is sort of a found footage. It's not a found footage movie. I don't know how to describe it. The whole film, bar the last 5 seconds, you are staring at a computer screen.
Really?
Screen. And it's like a... And
I just find it's interesting.
It is really interesting. It's kind of like... It's kind of like a first-person narrative. It's like a framing device. It literally is a framing device, actually. It's kind of like a first-person... You are there with American Beauty Queen Shelley Hennig, or whatever her name is. And you are with her, totally. And the tension is really drawn out. Because on social media and through when you type over text and Facebook chat and all these things, you can type it out. You never know what's coming. You're waiting and it says typing, dot, 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 dot. It really accentuates that really well. And it's got that Paranormal Activity, minimalist horror, drawing out the tension. Except unlike Paranormal Activity, this works really well, actually. Paranormal Activity does not work well all the time. But for the first 30 minutes of Unfriended, you really are glued in, to be honest. And then... like I said, first person perspective, remind me of Peep Show almost. You are looking directly at, obviously it's not as fluid or it's not as like existential as like the camera work and Peep Show tries to make it out. You are just watching it, but it really is a good first person framing device to discuss personal privacy in the modern world, what with Facebook and YouTube and your friends videoing you and doing all silly stuff like that. And but it does descend. It's really good. It blurs the line between people being punished and like discusses the theme of cyberbullying and people's involvement with their own privacy and people's involvement with exposing other people's privacy. But with the negatives, it descends into every teenage slasher cliche.
Oh, really?
Within the last 30 minutes. To be, it really is.
The virgin's left alive at the end then.
Yeah.
There are none in this.
Spoilers.
No one gets out in this film.
Oh, right.
No spoiler alert. But yeah,
normally you say the spoiler alert before you say the spoiler.
Yeah. Thanks, Oscar. I've seen it this week.
Everyone saw it coming. It is a bit predictable sometimes, but I don't mind. Like, predictability of plot is not a massive thing for me. But it does descend to that every slasher cliche, like the depravity of the characters and the punishment for their sins. And the tension is fantastic and it really does build, the gore when it happens is not a big payoff most of the time. But it is a these teenagers, they're all teenagers, all the characters, but they're not particularly convincing teenagers. They are every cliche, horrible American middle-class teenagers. But thematically, it works really well. You got these GIFs. They use GIFs in this film in the most grotesque manner, and it really is striking. Music, because the idea is that this person who is using the account of their dead friend is able to hack into their computers and start playing songs on Spotify, and that leaves a really, really grotesque and gruesome feel in the air. It really is interesting, actually.
That sounds really good.
So it is a mixed review from me, but I must say it has many positives, and I do recommend you go see this film.
I'm not the biggest horror fan.
No, see, neither am I. I scare really easily.
Yeah,
I scare easily,
and they don't normally have plot or anything. I just like get bored. Do you think someone like me should go and see it?
See, you really feel them.
I've said this on many reviews before. I said in my review of Inherent Vice, I'm not that fussed about plot a lot of the time on films that aren't meant to be plot-driven films. This film has a feel to it. It has a certain uniqueness, but despite of its slasher and horror film cliches, that makes it an interesting watch. Not groundbreaking particularly, but very interesting and a bit different.
How are we talking in terms of share of jump scares and kind of creepy scares?
I know this is horror snobs gonna have a go at me. Every horror film ever made has at least one jump scare.
And you know when it's coming as well. Well, in my case,
There is a sense of dread that happened that you get above the jumpiness and above the gore.
Okay.
Dragged out through just someone typing on a keyboard and it says typing, and I really like that. That's really interesting stuff. But the gore, it doesn't pay off as well. One bit is actually really good. One bit is good. I won't tell you which. Don't want to spoil that for you. Already spoiled the whole film for you already.
Yeah.
But the gore doesn't pay off often enough, but the tension is fantastic.
Good.
And what's a horror film about if not tension?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, let's lighten the mood with a bit of music. I don't know if, like we were saying earlier, you're comparing Montage of Hector Frank, and we're going to play you I Love You All by... Can you try and pronounce the name, Alistair? Let's get everyone to try and pronounce the name of the picture.
They said Sorenprofibs.
The Sorenprofibs. Alistair, no problem. How many times have you seen Frank now?
I've seen it four times.
Four times.
Yeah. We saw it together with John. Joe was there too. But let's not forget. All right.
Oh,
Joe.
I forgot about Joe.
But
guys, he's listening. Joe, I did not forget about you. I wasn't there.
We think you're great, Joe.
Yeah,
lovely
Joe.
But John Ronson did a Q&A session. He was the writer, and he was fantastic.
The writer was. I missed that.
You were in Hong Kong.
Anyway, let's have a listen to "I Love You All" by the Surin Pips. That will do. That's close enough. That's close as getting, people.
Nice to be here. I
What a lovely voice Michael Fassbender has.
He really does.
He gets like a Jim Morrison-esque almost thing. Really fantastic. Okay, guys, thank you for tweeting in. Chirag, you have... I still can't pronounce his name. Plakazi has tweeted in. Will we say Almost Famous counts? Almost Famous counts?
Almost Famous certainly counts.
Almost Famous certainly counts. He also said in the second one, I really like this documentary, God Bless Ozzy Osbourne, which is, it was made by his son, actually. It was really fantastic.
Okay.
Which is just for the story about Ozzy and Motley Crue cocaining up and painting the walls with...
excrement.
Effluent. Carl Worthington has tweeted in saying, loving the fiddly digits and the itchy britches. For it was I love you wall.
It is
the first line is I love your wall. I think it is. I'm not going to sing it because Lissy would freak out if I started singing on air. But guys, thank you for tweeting in. It is quiz time, everyone. Go on the quizzes.
Dabby dozy.
We're going to have a bit of a quiz in the studio, guys. Now what's happening? All four of us have picked one song each.
Yes.
And
from a film.
Thank you, Emily. I was getting to that. I know you're the veteran and all that, and I'm just a noob, the first semester and all that. But lost my train of thought now.
Sorry,
Emily.
Sorry.
Anyway,
giving us the rules,
giving you the rules. Thank you, Alistair. We were giving you basically each of us picked a song from a film, and the other three people in the studio have to guess or say the artist, the song, what film it's from. And
the scene.
So there's potential of 4 points on. So Ella, we're gonna play your pick first.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, I'm ready.
Listen up, guys.
Mm-hmm.
on the tip of my tongue.
Oh.
Are we buzzing in? Are we?
We'll play a minute of the song.
Yeah.
Let's hope it gets to the recognisable bit in that minute.
If not, then we'll do it on a case by case basis.
I don't think I've heard this before, you know. It's very unfamiliar sounding right now.
Well, we'll see, shan't we?
But I'm waiting for the. It's very beautiful, Ella.
It's lovely.
I kind of want to go to sleep.
Good taste, Ella. Every film between 1930
by a generic composer.
And 1960.
Yeah.
Oh,
you recognise this next bit?
Does this have words? How are we going to guess?
No. It's a piece.
It's a piece.
Yeah.
Composed by...
Give us a clue. I feel like we need a clue.
Yeah, go on.
It's a French film.
Okay, I've never seen any French films, so I'm already screwed.
Well, Emily,
The director of this film, you will have definitely seen his seminal work.
Is it from Emily?
No, but is...
I've not even seen Emily.
It's close. It's a Jean-Pierre Jeunet film.
Is it... Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Wait.
Oh, that's Michel Gondry, actually. Yeah. My bad.
So it's a Jean-Pierre Jeunet. Oh, what's his name? Sorry?
Jean-Pierre Jeunet
film, and it's not Amelie.
It's not Amelie. Yeah.
I'm going to have to bow out on this one.
I'm bowing out as well.
I've never seen any French films, I'm afraid.
God.
It's an area I need to explore.
I've seen French films, not this one, I've got to admit.
Go on, Ella.
It's Mathilde's theme from A Very Long Engagement. And the composer was Angelo Badalamenti.
No, I don't.
Ellie, you overestimated us.
Our capabilities.
I feel like mine's quite easy, then, compared to...
I think I've got the reputation as a culture vulture, but you've outdone me. I can't hide it.
Ellie's outdone everyone.
Sorry.
I'm saying now, though. So Ella gets a complete clean sweep in the first round. It's Ella's to lose. Here we go.
Right.
So here we go. This is Emily's pick.
I think it is hard to not see
the film. See, I know the song, but I'm trying, that's quite hard to think of the film.
It's one of my favourite film soundtracks of all time.
Primal Scream.
No, but
should have seen off the stage just then. Little.
I'm a big Primal Scream fan. Big Primal Scream. But it's not actually Primal Scream.
Are we talking Crimson?
No, it's
not. Oh.
More modern, more up to date, only past couple of years. It's not 1970s Irish pop. What was my favourite? I'll give you a clue. What do I like?
Superhero films.
It's a superhero film.
Is it from Guardians of the Galaxy?
No.
Oh.
Is it from Iron Man?
No.
Is it Marvel?
No.
Is it DC?
No.
Excuse me. Is it from Kick-Ass?
It's from Kick-Ass.
Yes!
Oh. I'm going to give you half a point.
That is one point.
Is
it the ending scene?
No, it's the opening scene of Kick-Ass. It's the Prodigy stand-up. And it's the opening scene.
Oh.
Well, not the opening scene where he drops from a tower block. But it's the opening scene of it's the opening credits, and he's at the school, and he's walking into school, and they play Stand Up by the Prodigy, and he's gone into the school, and he goes to his locker, and he talks about how his life sucks and his girl, and I watched this film too many times.
So that's 1 point for the big fella.
Yeah.
One nil nil. Was it
one nil nil?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a tweet, everyone, before we get into the next round.
That was a favourite.
Incredible time on ESR covering the general election.
Louisa. Shout out to Louisa Fox.
Go on, Louisa.
Right.
I love Louisa.
Okay.
Alistair.
So, have a listen, guys. I'm sure you're going to have a tough time.
Thanks, Alistair. Great.
You are now entering a mystique zone. Please refrain from any energy and block into the misty shape.
Excuse me. Absolutely. Volume 1.
Please enter your personal access code after the tone. Member Alicia, access granted. Member Serena, access granted.
Oscar's having a minor breakdown in the corner.
Pursue release, access granted. Please prepare for initiation.
So scandalous.
This is one of my favourite songs.
I'm gonna go out there and say, was it used in Charlie's Angels?
Not me, it's my song.
It's used in a lot of films.
Well, what am I thinking?
I don't know. I think it's the films that I've seen. Yeah.
Is it Ali G in the House?
It is not Ali G in the House.
Clue. I'll give you a clue.
It's widely regarded as one of the worst films ever made.
Oh, Jiggly.
No.
Dead or Alive?
No.
That was a bad film.
Oh, no, but yeah, that's terrible.
Oh, what's that one? Wild Wild West?
Wild Wild West.
Are we just doing bad films?
Yeah. I don't know.
No, I'm going to keep going. I know a lot of bad films. I'm going to keep going.
Is actually from the Halle Berry classic
Catwoman.
It is, okay.
You get a point for saying Catwoman before you said Catwoman.
Oscar gets a point for saying Catwoman
as well.
It's from a scene where Halle Berry and her love interest, I can't remember who the actor is, play basketball with each other.
Why do you know this?
But like, it is honestly, Google it. Google.
Why do you know this, Alistair?
Google this scene. Catwoman basketball scene. It is the worst. It's worse than anything in the room. It makes me feel physically
sick. That song doesn't make me think of basketball.
Exactly.
No.
It's terrible.
A lot of scandalous things in basketball.
Oscar's the kingmaker.
I am.
But he can't win it himself.
I can't win it myself, unfortunately. Guys, I think this is quite an easy one. Okay, I reckon you'll get this one. Hold on. There we go.
Oh, it's
You can't just hum the tune. That doesn't count for points, Alistair.
That's the name of the song, though.
No. You're able to pronounce the Soren Forbes, but you can't. Guys, tweet in if you know this one. You've got to know this one.
I know the song, but I don't know what film it's from.
Is it? Is it from Boogie Nights?
It's not from Boogie Nights.
No. I thought I had it there.
Is this Otis Redding?
It is not Otis Redding.
Oh, we just need to guess one element of this song.
Yeah, then we'll be fine.
Oh, no.
You Make Me Feel, isn't it? Is it called You Make Me Feel?
No.
It's lyrics, though.
I'll give you a clue. Band-aid. As
but
in...
Gold
as
off.
No, as not in band... Like a plaster. Like a plaster. On the back of someone's head.
Oh! Pulp Fiction!
Alistair gets it! Yes.
Well, hang on. Is it when they're in the bar talking about what's in the briefcase?
No!
Let's
What
is it?
It's one of the car scenes.
Guys, I'm going to put you out of your misery. That was Let's Stay Together by Al Green, okay?
The scene was
when Marcellus Wallace is telling Bruce Willis's character to take a dive, go down in the third. That was the scene.
Of course.
Nice. Well, so go on, Alice. That was a dismal performance all round. I got to put it out there.
I'm sure there's people who
are
listening.
My music guesses.
I'm sure there's people who are listening at home going, I can't believe they've not got it. It's like
I feel like, guys, box office listeners, I apologise on behalf of everyone here.
I do think with film soundtracks, though, it depends on your music taste, obviously your film taste, and then the combination of two. So everyone's very
depends on how switched on you are in a certain film. Yeah.
So, in joint second place, we've got Oscar.
Go on, lad.
Emily and Ella.
Yeah.
And steaming ahead with two big old points.
Double
the notes. It's like the most. It's like the second most one-sided result we've had in the past 3 days.
I love it.
I've got 2 points. So
well done, Alistair. Everyone clap for Alistair. You're lucky. So and so. All right, guys. As it is a musicy show today on the box office. Guys, we sent you away a few questions. Firstly, what's your favourite compiled soundtrack?
I've got too many. So we talked about Pulp Fiction earlier, but my favourite, I think, Tarantino soundtrack has got to be Reservoir Dogs.
Oh yeah.
Just purely, even Little Green Bag, Hooked on a Feeling. But for the scene where he chops off the guy's ear, we're stuck in the middle of You by Cedars Wolves playing.
Horribly,
that's a
good
great
scene. Yeah,
it's good stuff.
You can't beat it. But also Trainspotting, Danny Boyle's Scottish film, great. Born Sleepy Knocks, Underworld. The way that music, that
Lust for Life,
it's all brilliant. I also really like Grease.
Grease is great.
Tron Legacy, which is composed by the French duo Daft Punk.
Yeah,
they're all great.
Yeah. Best thing about all that film was the soundtrack.
Two good things about that film: the visuals and the soundtrack.
And the soundtrack.
Yeah. Ella,
favourite soundtrack.
As much as I sort of, when I watched it, I felt a little bit ill because I was very tired and the visuals were just so confusing. The soundtrack to Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, very good, because you've got Neil Young, you've got Jefferson Airplane, you've got a bit of Beatles, a bit of Tom Jones in there even, you know. So it's just a very good sort of 60s, 70s soundtrack, if you like, into that era, you know.
Oh, good stuff.
Fantastic. Yeah, good. Alistair.
Now, we're gonna take Drive as red. We've talked about
Drive.
I do love that.
Everyone's done. They redid Drive.
It's just coming to my head now. I'm gonna go with Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Coen Brothers film.
I really like Coen Brothers.
I'm a really big fan of that soundtrack. It's one of my most listened to things on Spotify.
It's got some good stuff on there.
Really good stuff. Soggy Bottom Boys and all that sort of stuff. I really like it.
Fantastic. But guys, I had a lot of ideas. You got Trainspotting, obviously.
Yeah.
Boogie Nights has a great soundtrack.
Pulp Fiction
has a great soundtrack. Films. Oh, what's that? Bronson has a really good soundtrack, actually. I opted for a Dazed and Confused, directed by Richard Linklater, just because of the wide selection of 70s hard rock music. You got Tush by ZZ Top, Slow Ride by Foghat. Stranglehold by Ted Nugent before we knew he was a bit of a right wing nutcase. We got Cherry Bomb by the Runaways, Tuesday's Gone, Leonard Skinner, Highway Star, Deep Purple, Paranoid, Black Sabbath, and Kiss, and just great 70s music to give the film a proper feel. Chirag is a big fan of Reservoir Dogs soundtrack.
Yes,
he's tweeted in.
I think that, you know, when music works well in films, when you remember a particular scene, say for instance for Reservoir Dogs, Steelers wants to come over you with an ear cutting scene. As when music particularly works well, I think it helps you remember it. Yeah,
the sign of when it's been used properly is when you can remember. As we've indicated, we're not very good at this. But when you can connect the song to the scene, there's a lot of these things like Tron. We can remember the soundtrack and it's awesome and it's really fantastic. Can you tell me any of the bits that correspond with it? You can't because you don't really remember.
A lack of a decent film.
What I'm saying.
One of the scenes I do remember from Dazed and Confused with one of the songs on it is not on the soundtrack, actually. They included Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith on it, which is fantastic. One of the only Aerosmith songs I like. Anyway, we're going to move on. We've had compiled soundtracks. Favourite original score in a film?
I'm going to go completely clichéd with this one. But the soundtrack to A New Hope, I mean, watching that for the first time when I was younger, it's just the scene where Luke Skywalker goes out, looks at the two moons in Tatooine, and it's just that rousing score. And then right at the very beginning, you know, you just remember as a child getting so excited about that before going to the main theme. It's just, I'm going to have to pick that.
Yeah,
classic John Williams.
Yeah.
Emily?
For me, it is Hans Zimmer, who's pretty much soundtrack god, his score for Inception, which is just
surprise.
I pick a Christopher Nolan.
You picked Inception. I thought you picked Dark Knight.
No, I do like Dark Knight. Dark Knight is my favorite film of all time, and soundtrack is amazing. But Inception just, it's more emotional. Sometimes I just listen to soundtrack and I just cry for no particular reason. It just makes me feel. I just really connect with it.
Yeah.
And the piece called Time. Listen to it, and you'll be in floods of tears by the end. Yeah.
Alistair.
To save a massive argument happening, I'm not going to go with the correct choice, which is gravity. I'm going to go with something else. I'm going to go with something. Please, Oscar.
Sorry.
Some decorum, please. I'm going to go with something we can be much more agreeable on, and that's another John Williams one, and that's Jaws.
Guys, I've got a confession.
Jaws is a bit
Never seen Jaws. What? I know the soundtrack. So, I own the soundtrack.
But so the original score of Jaws, can there be a? Is there a more iconic piece of music than dun 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 dun? That is like an absolute masterpiece in terms of tension in music. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
I was saying to these guys for the show that I went to see John Williams, Birmingham Symphony Orchestra perform a selection of John Williams soundtracks, and he's just amazing. Like,
yeah,
the work he's done for film is just truly remarkable.
He's the best bit about most films. You know,
Jewel of the Fates.
Yeah, I remember I was the percussionist in my school's concert band. Well, the only percussionist for a while. So Jewel of the Fates, I played a bit of that on xylophone. And it was just then get some cymbals out. Yeah. Drum. It was just so fun to play. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, my favourite score. He's a bit like the bridesmaid, never the bride in the film composers.
Okay.
Is Thomas Newman?
Yes, you guys heard he often works with Hans Zimmer.
He does work with Hans Zimmer.
He works a lot.
He is behind the scores to to Shawshank Redemption, Finding Nemo, and The People versus Larry Flint. One of my favorite films, actually. But my favorite soundtrack score of all time is American Beauty. It's got a real
never seen American Beauty.
It could have been just been another, oh, we'll get an orchestra, we'll find a main theme. But he threw most of the violins away. He's got a lot of bits, which he loves so much. He's great at these big chordal, big harmonies coming out, as seen on Shawshank. But it was a lot more rhythmic, a lot more to do with colour and percussion than a lot of film scores had been until that time. And it's been ripped off a lot of times.
That's true.
Scores that rip off each other. Yes. Well, even with soundtracks, for instance, Reservoir Dogs, Hooked on a Feeling, that was one of the ultimate songs from Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. It is just a bit, find your own music. It works in both films, in both incidents, but I just find it a bit annoying sometimes.
Yeah. I can agree with you on that one, I think.
I think everyone can agree on that one. Favourite film about a musician or band, guys? Ella.
As I said earlier, Spinal Tap, because just... Just I know it's a mockumentary, and you know the music isn't the biggest part of it. It's just the Stonehenge scene will always be one of my favourite scenes from a film. The scene where he gets stuck in the pod, and of course this one goes up to 11. I mean, it's just classic. They created something funny and original, and
the music, the actual music which they wrote themselves and perform themselves is fantastic. Good rock, like funny rock songs on there. Yeah. I'm such a massive Spinal Tap fan.
So Spinal Tap was one of those films I never could watch. I never watched it, or I never liked watching it all the way through. I always preferred watching bits of it because there's a lot of stuff for me that wasn't funny in between the bits that are really, really funny for me anyway.
I think the bits that aren't the super duper funny bits are the bits where you get character development and where you get paid off and things like that.
I ain't got time for that.
Yeah,
ain't nobody got time for that. Emily. Okay. Favourite film about a musician or band or documentary, obviously.
I picked two because I'm cheeky.
Pat your bags, you're gone.
So earlier we were talking about Kurt Cobain, and I was saying to these guys that for me, Ian Curtis is sort of my... When I think of tortured artist, I think of Ian Curtis, who was Joy Division, which is one of my favourite bands of all time. Joy Division did Love to Tear Us Apart, and he suffered from epilepsy and depression, Ian Curtis did, and he killed himself at the age of 23 by hanging himself in a kitchen washing up line. And it's such a beautiful film, and you don't have to be a fan of the music because it's such a sad story. It's all about his personal life and how he dealt with his marriage and having suffering from epilepsy whilst being part of his huge band. It's just very emotional. But I also picked Good Vibrations, which was 2013.
Yeah.
And it's about Terry Hooley, who founded a record label in 1970s Belfast when the Troubles had started. It's just full of 1970s Irish punk, but also a bit of history.
Good stuff.
Alistair.
For me, I'm going with Awesome. I expletive shot that.
by the Beastie Boys.
I've seen this film. Yeah. And I hated it.
Well, you're wrong, because and this is why. It's like genuinely innovative to have a concert in MSG, this iconic building, and to give 50 fans a camera each, to have them all film, have their own experiences all put onto it, and split into a perfect like 2.5 hours of concert. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Beastie Boys are one of my favorite bands.
I think you have to be a fan of the music.
You absolutely certainly have to.
I saw it at Leeds Film Festival and I wanted to punch their faces.
Please, Emily, don't go there right now. No. I've got one of the names tattooed on my left arm. So
no way. I want to see
this.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm wearing a massive pullover hoodie right now.
It's gonna have to be post show.
But you're just gonna have to trust me on that one. I love that film.
That is dedication. I will definitely have to go watch that film if someone could get a tattoo of from the, anyway. My favourite is a fictional it's a fictional artist, but Frank.
Can we just point out that Alistair is stripping now?
Another great piece of film music.
Sorry, yeah, the Full Monty's got a great sound.
Yeah,
check.
Cool. Right.
It's got Gary Glitter on it, but we'll ignore that. Yeah, we'll
anyway, what are you saying, Austin?
Frank is great. Great discussion of the tortured artists and just creativity as a whole, and how far people are willing to go with their art to be loved, and how far they'll go to retain their dignity and what they believe is truly creative. Okay, so guys.
With the last bit of the show, I shall reveal. Hang on, there we go.
Oh my lord.
MCA.
Wow.
Also stands for Mary Christine Angela, which is my mum and my grandma and my auntie's name. So it's kind of like a double thing, but yeah, totally.
Sweet.
On that lovely sentimental note, guys, this is your last show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It really has.
Emily.
3 years.
You have been a LSR veteran and a box office veteran in particular for as long as anyone really can remember. So everyone give Emily especially a round of applause. Ella, you've been a great guest as well.
Thank you.
Round of applause.
Ella.
Alistair, you kept the show running basically in a time when I didn't think I could do it anymore. So thank you. Big round of applause for Alistair.
Thank you very much.
And we're going to announce the winner.
And to you, Oscar. To Oscar too.
Thank you. I'm coming back.
And to everyone who's ever been on the show.
Everyone
who's
listened, everyone who's come on, fantastic. Thank you for being a part of Box Office. We're going to announce the winner really quickly. And the winner is Dominic Eloise, who said Shut Up and Play the Hits by LCD and Sound System is her favourite film/documentary about a band musician. You will be receiving 2 tickets to the Hyde Park Pitch House. Guys, it's bye from Ella.
Bye-bye.
Bye from Emily.
Goodbye.
It's bye from Alistair.
See ya.
And it's bye for me. Thank you for listening.